There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You know, to think about this, by the way, hello, it's Tuesday edition of Midday Mobile. My name is Sean Sullivan. Glad you're here. Phone number, text line for us to chat, to interact, 343-0106, 343-0106. But I want to add this, that it made me feel good yesterday that on Twitter, somebody had just had the, it was on Sunday, somebody had had just the desire to hear Governor Ivey talk about the high-stepping turkeys so much, they went and got the shorter clip from YouTube that is part of the show open of Midday Mobile, and posted up there for all of us to enjoy on Twitter. So a big thank you when you bring that up. Even over the weekend, it's never the wrong time to celebrate the high-stepping turkey. So, Chad, thank you, who put that on Twitter over the weekend. He said, when it's 8 p.m. on a Sunday and you're missing Midday Mobile, and then it's a link to the governor talk about those high-stepping turkeys. I wonder what will happen this year if we'll have, we have the gubernatorial turkey pardon, if we'll have more communication about the high-stepping turkeys. All right, lots to do on the show today, and guests coming in. Jeff just mentioned this at the end of the Jeff Poor Show, but coming in here in hour number two, it is Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. It's your chance to ask the sheriff, something we do monthly here at FM Talk 106.5 and on this Midday Mobile show. So he is coming in. You got a question for the sheriff. Make sure to get it ready, and we'll get it answered, or some answer for it coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. And I'm going to one of my questions for the sheriff has to do with the shooting at Bass Pro Shop over the weekend. We will talk about that as well this hour, and I'll get your takes on that coming up in just a little bit. And I got to tell you, I couldn't stand it. I had to come in and poke my head in the studio today when Jeff mentioned the ABC, right? The Alabama Beverage Control, the stores. When he got it, I'm not going to talk about it today because his show's on first and he got first bite of the apple. But don't worry. If you've been listening any time, years, decade to this show, you know that it'll come back soon on the program. We'll talk about that. Also coming up, this hour, I want to hear from you about your experiences so far. If you're a parent with children in the Mobile County Public School System, what's it been like so far? Because I've heard not the greatest. Okay, now it is anecdotal, and I realize that. Right, I realize that I'm just hearing from certain people. Just because you heard from one or two people doesn't mean that that's the way it is. Right, it could be somebody else who had an opposite opinion, or opposite take with it. But I know from in my small group, people I've talked to that had younger children that were doing the remote, which is different than virtual, the remote learning, it's not been good for them. We asked this question, and Leanna put up the question on our Facebook page, which you go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065. It says, how is remote learning working in your home? Okay, so how's it for you? And this is, while unscientific surveys, these are important. We're also asking the same question on our website. So if you want to go there to fmtalk1065.com, you can go there and answer the poll question as well, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. But the choice here is perfect fit for us, had some issues getting the hang of it, or when is it over? In other words, you love it, it isn't perfect, but it's okay, or you can't stand it. And so the results coming back now have been overwhelmingly to the negative. Now, I have no way to tell that all the people that have reacted to this on our Facebook page have children in Mobile County Public Schools. I want to make sure that that's kind of the people I want to talk to on this. And I want to get your opinions on it this hour, too. So if you want to call in, 343-0106, if you can take a break of helping your child through school, what has it meant for you? I have, you know, people that say, you know, what has meant to their work that they've got children at home doing this remote learning. And then on top of it, they said it's been very hard to navigate. So maybe you think it's great. Maybe you have an opposite opinion here. And I want to talk to you this hour either way. Let's get a sense on this at 343-0106. All right. So that's our list of things to talk about this hour. Also, this the Tuberville ad, and Jeff mentioned it, I think, at the beginning of his show, that Tuberville's running an ad here, of course, targeting Doug Jones, his opponent in this, on open borders and gun grabs, I think, is a screenshot on this. The story goes this way. It's from Yellowhammer News. Sean Ross put this up and said, Republican U.S. Senate nominee Tommy Tuberville on Tuesday launched his first television advertisement ahead of the 2020 general election. Tuberville is set to face U.S. Senator Doug Jones. Blah, 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 okay. And it says, new 30-second spot cuts to the core of the Alabama Republicans' message this fall. Jones is aligned with the National Democratic Party rather than the majority of his own constituents back home. Tuberville ad outlines key policy differences between the Senate candidates, including on the Second Amendment, abortion, and immigration. All right, so quote here from Paul Shashi, the campaign manager for Tuberville, said, since becoming interim senator, Doug Jones has opposed everything that Alabamians support and supported everything that Alabamians oppose. Said Coach Tuberville's ad makes the case on issues like abortion, gun control, and taxes. Doug Jones represents liberal California and New York values, not conservative Alabama values. So it's exactly the ad he should run. I mean, politically, that's the ad you want to run. Now, I want to say that there are some things you can look where Doug Jones has voted, where I think the majority of Alabamians are on some things he's been on the show talking with us about. So is it completely binary? No. But you go back to those three big things, and those are three big things for Alabamians, you know, wherever they fall on it. But abortion, gun control, and taxes, right? And so Tommy Tuberville is going with the Republican messaging on that, which is the right thing for him to do. Doug Jones is, you can go through each of those and say he gets a strike against him. But the one on gun control was interesting to me. Because, and I'll make sure I get this quote correct here. I didn't have time to fire up the Twitter machine when I got into the studio because Jeff and his lollygagging here. Let's see here. Let's see what the exact response was. So Doug Jones, Senator Doug Jones harkened back to something he said on the show with me. He and I went round and round on Second Amendment issues. And he puts out the olive branch to me, having done some research on me, saying, well, listen, Sean, I'm like you. I like to hunt. I own a couple rifles, own a shotgun, you know, those kind of things. So I'm pro Second Amendment. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So once again, I'm pointing out on one hand that there have been actually votes that Senator Doug Jones has taken that I think are not contrary to the conservatives in Alabama. There are some big ones, though, that he absolutely has. But on this gun control thing, that's just what his spin on it. And we'll try to get him back on the show soon to talk about it. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. Second Amendment's not about, you know, getting pass down the old shotgun. That's not what it's about. So I just wanted to point that out because I heard it over the weekend. I don't have the quote in front of me, but I'll try to find it. And Dalton, maybe you can find it. But he pushed back on this Tuberville ad and said, you know, I'm done with being getting this accusations of not being pro Second Amendment. And he says, well, but I hunt and I've got some rifles. It's not the same thing. I'm with you. I like the fact that you got. I think it's good that the senator from Alabama likes to go, maybe went dove hunting. I don't know what he did. But that's not the Second Amendment. That is not the point of the Second Amendment. So I just wanted to talk about that as we roll into this. All right, so when we come back and talk about this school thing, and I'm getting some messaging here. Are your kids in Mobile County Public Schools, are they doing the remote learning? And how is that working out? And this is not, because I don't have a dog in this hunt. I had two people had dogs in the hunt that were in my ear all weekend about it, how it was not working for them. So I want to see if what I heard anecdotally through friends is what's going on with more people, or is that the exception? You got children, you got grandchildren that are doing this. How is this? Number one, how's it affected your schedule? How are you working around this? And number two, are the kids, God forbid, let's talk about the thing that's important. Are the kids learning stuff? Are they learning? So let me know. 343-0106. 343-0106. Coming right back. We'll grab your calls. We'll talk about this. Also, in the second hour, talking to Sheriff Sam Cochran, it's your chance to ask the sheriff, and we'll talk about what went on at Bass Pro Shops. And I got, man, inundated on social media and on my phone this weekend. Questions about that. I'll roll through some of my takes on that as well when we come back. Glad you're here. It's a Tuesday. Feels like a Monday for people, but it's a short week. It's Tuesday, y'all.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Tuesday edition of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And glad to have these folks back on the show. Man, it's cool to watch this company grow, because early on when a company decided to upend the shaving world, a company called Harry's, they came to folks like me in the radio business and said, hey, we want to send you, our blades. We want to send you the handles. We want to tell you what this is all about, show you how it works, and get you talking about it. So years and years ago, started talking about Harry's, and it's great to have them back on board. Been shaving with Harry's for probably close to eight years now, and obviously a big fan of the product and a big fan of the price. And brand new news from the folks at Harry's. They just came out with their sharpest blades ever, which is kind of spooky because the other ones were amazingly sharp as well. And unlike some razor companies, they're not even charging you for their product improvements. They're just doing it and keeping the price the same. Like I told you for years, the Harry's blades are $2 each. Even the new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each. And other companies out there raise prices. They say, oh, look, we put in this this gadget or that gadget on your razor, and then they charge you more. Not the folks at Harry's. Listen to this. The new blades are also so sharp that in a study with guys shaving four times a week, a guy reported that with Harry's new blades, their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. And that's a tell there on how sharp those blades are. And they do this because Harry's integrated. They bought their own German blade factory that's been making blades for 100 years. They source their steel from Sweden. They own the entire manufacturing process from research and development to the factory floor. Lets them keep the prices low and get them to you. And you get that 100% quality guarantee I've told you about over the years. Harry's available wherever you shop. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in the big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. Or if you're like me and you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer for listeners of the show, and this helps the show as well. So if you want to do this, do it with my promo code. New customers, y'all will get $5 off a Harry's trial set when you use my code Sean S. Okay, my code forever was Sean, S-E-A-N. Now it's S-E-A-N and the letter S, probably from my last name, Sullivan. Harry's.com, make sure to use the code Sean S. And this kit includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, y'all, just like it used to be, $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use the code Sean S at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try. All right, I'm going to go through some of the text, and folks can hop on 343-0106. This just came from, so this weekend, I had two people in my ear about the remote learning. So, and we learned from Renee Phillips with the Mobile County Public School System, there is a difference between virtual and remote learning. Remote learning, the kids basically are in their same classes. They're just doing it, you know, through the computer, versus virtual, which is like a virtual school that kids from all the different schools can participate in, I think. I think I have that close to right. So my friends have their children in remote learning, and they said it's tough. They said it's real tough. They, number one, on their family schedule. Number two, they got the issue with, one of them pointed out that In his estimation, once again, I'm speaking secondhand, that the children weren't given a list the parents, there was no list for the parents to see of the task to be completed by the children that day. And I know from the little bit of remote learning that my children did at the end of last year, that was a big frustration to me too, because you want to check off that, okay, you have to do this quiz or fill out this thing, or right? You show me that you learned the concepts there. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but the idea of learning, they can learn, and then I need to be able to check off that they did the work. So I heard from them that that's not there. That's not part of it. Also, yes, there have been the technical issues. Now, they said they think they've resolved those with the crash and the buffering that was going on with the website. But that's got to be frustrating, too, when you got little children, more than one, and you're trying to get them to sit there and learn. You got to play a zone defense with that, right? So, all right. So this texter says, middle school and up is easier. Elementary is tough. Coupled with a wife who's an elementary school teacher, she was home this weekend with migraines from just the first week. Said, Sean, I think you may see an exodus of teachers. The stress is huge on them. So, yeah, that's the other side of this. Is it for teachers out there, and teachers can contact me anonymously, that's fine. If I tell you, give you my word on something, I'm not going to give you my word. I won't tell who you are. What's it like on your end? Or if you know somebody who's a teacher, when they get out of school today, say, hey, Sullivan was asking what it's like on your end. Chuck says, I think the virtual school stinks. Work all day and go home to a frazzled 15-year-old who has complications with PowerPoints. Thanks, Kressel. Time, of course, director of Mobile County Public School System. It's okay. Somebody else. Okay, Sean, we've only had one issue, a tech problem, but it's been working fine for our child, a third grader. This is from TJ. Enjoys the classes, seeing the teacher and the other students online. We have a parent able to be there if questions come up. Okay, see, this is why this is good, because we can have different. So TJ, it's working for, except for the tech problem, which TJ, I think, from what I've heard, they've gotten that worked out, knock on wood. But the process is good for your third grader. That's good. So some people are having, you know, children frazzled with it. Some people are having some success with it. You know, TJ, you said we have a parent there to be there if questions come up. This brings me up to remember, was it a couple weeks ago, we started talking about these one-room schoolhouses thing that we're developing, where people were doing remote learning. They kind of shared homes during the week, and I don't know, you get a handful of neighborhood kids that do the same thing at that school, and they go to, like, you know, the Sullivan's house on Monday and the Jones's house on Tuesday and the, you know, whatever on Wednesday, and that parent is there, I guess, to guide the children that day so the other parents can work. And Jace says, my senior has a teacher that does the roll, so the roll call, and then dismisses class. Really? He was, we'll see how week two goes now. That's, you know, in all the problems it is for parents and the issues it is for the school system and all these other questions, what Jace is mentioning is the most important part of it. The kids are supposed to be learning. We're doing them no favor. No favor. Y'all know this. No way the world is. Why do we force our children to do their homework? Why do we demand that they do their work and make good grades? Because we know. We know what the world is like. We know the world they're facing. And if they don't get an education, where are they? Dismisses class. Tony says, my two teenage granddaughters here in Baldwin County are doing the virtual, and it's tough staying logged into the Schoolology. Philip says, a friend of mine had somebody hack into their virtual classroom with an extremely vulgar song. I think I heard about that the other day. Our kids had a guy that didn't even go to their school hack in and ask them all to play Fortnite. Okay, there's the hacking thing, and you can say, listen, the school system's got to do better keeping the hackers out, but they could get that problem solved and still maybe not solve the problem of, does this work? Does this work for the children learning? Does this work for us checking off as parents that they are learning, they are accomplishing? What does it mean for your work schedule, too? If you don't have grandparents or kinfolk around that can step in, how do you navigate this? We'll continue the discussion with you when we get back at 343-0106.
Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM, and we got the, I guess, a fresh week to work with because of the holiday yesterday. Larry, what's happening on the lot?
Well, right now it's raining, but we had a big, big weekend, so we're out looking for vehicles. We got all our buyers throughout the southeast looking for nice vehicles, so need to restock, and if anybody's looking for something particular, just call us, see if we can go to work finding it for them.
You know, you and I hadn't talked about that in a while, that kind of headhunter feature y'all do. Explain how that works.
Well, actually, we had a call this morning first thing. A couple looking for a vehicle for their daughter, and they just gave us all the parameters, their budget, colors, options, mileage, and so forth, and we're working on trying to find it for them.
Yeah, and y'all find cream of the crop from around here, but like you said, the whole southeast, you're looking all over.
Absolutely, yeah. That's you know, we got access to thousands of vehicles, so, and we're picky.
Hey, indeed, that's why you have the great reputation you do. So let's talk about coming out and seeing you. Give us directions.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook, or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you,
Larry Kirby, checking in from LCM. You mentioned the rain, and I'm looking. I don't know. I was asleep at the wheel. Did not have my radar screen up like I normally do. One of the 35 tabs I opened up on Google Chrome here. But yeah, just pulled this up. So my people, Dolphin Island, y'all getting a little rinse down going on there on the island. And it looks like a few showers just north of Bala Battery and some in the Theodore area. And like Dr. Bill said, a little more chance of rain coming up this week. We'll get an update from Dr. Bill coming up in just about 40 minutes here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, so one of the things we're discussing is the school system. And it's the remote learning. I know some people said virtual, but like, if I understand it correctly, the remote learning is when the class is together, they have the same teacher, or they're not together, they're remotely together, versus a virtual school where people from different schools can go learn online like that. And these two people I talked to over the weekend were having fits with it, to be frank with you. And they're like, this is just, and they explained it in depth to me, and I was like, wow, what it meant to them. So that's why we're trying to do a couple things here, is get a discussion going with you, because on the text line, not everybody is having a bad time with it. Some people are saying it's okay. Now, on our poll question, on our Facebook page, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK poll question, and also that's on our website, and on the Facebook page, the question up there as well, asking how it's working out for you, is decidedly the other way, with people saying it's not good. So I'm just trying to find out what reality is here. And no, this is not a scientific poll. This is for entertainment purposes only. But I'd like to see what it means to you. Because how do we figure this out? You know, there's that petition out there to return Mobile County Public Schools to in-person, in-class learning. And we'll see kind of where that goes. All right. Let's and we can come back to that. I do want to, before the sheriff gets in here, although this is going to be one of the things we talk about, one of my questions for the sheriff, it's your chance to ask the sheriff coming up at 1 o'clock, the 1 o'clock hour today, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest, like he is once a month, and your chance to ask about any kind of law enforcement-related issues for the sheriff's department. But one I'm going to talk about here, even though it's a Baldwin County story, is the shooting at the shooting that went down at Bass Pro Shops, okay? So you're probably following this, right, from over the weekend. I can tell you right now, my social media was blown up on this, and my personal phone, on text about it. The story here, if you hadn't heard at this point, probably have, but Spanish Fork Police Department, the update here, well, let's go to the beginning. So the first part of the story is Spanish Fork Police Chief John Barber identified the suspect in the Bass Pro shooting as 38-year-old Robert Smith, a black male from the Grove Hill area. Barber says Smith is being treated for a medical condition at present, not related to his arrest. He says the second person taken into custody Saturday, a woman, has been released, and there are no charges pending on that person at this time. And you probably have heard most of the other backstory. So then let's go here to the updates from our news partners at WKRG. They said, today, 38-year-old Robert Smith was booked in in Baldwin County Jail just after noon on Monday. Entry is so new, a mugshot has not yet been posted. Now they've posted the mugshot. Then their next update, Spanish Fort Police Department discovered 10 additional guns inside Robert Smith's Grove Hill home. People say they found more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition as well. Baldwin County Jail log lists Smith's charges as assault second degree, discharge of a firearm into an occupied dwelling or vehicle, reckless endangerment, and resisting arrest. Okay, so those are the charges at this time brought against him. And there a lot of attention was made on the number of firearms that Robert Smith had. And that's fine. Those are factual things. More interesting to me would be the amount of ammunition, right? I mean, because you can only, unless you got something I don't know, you can only shoot two weapons at a time, right? And not particularly accurately if you do that. But the questions I had, and the first one came in on Twitter, I think, over the weekend, and was saying, hey, Sean, what about if somebody would have shot that, a conceal and carry, but I don't think it doesn't have to be conceal and carry. It could be somebody open carry or whatever. What if a citizen, what would their reaction have legally, what could they have legally done in that situation? And as I said on Twitter, I said, there's a lot of information that I don't have yet, so I'm not going to come out and say definitively anything, because we don't, you know, there'll be things that come out that I don't know about yet. But I will say that if the person is shooting, and the weird thing is, too, that this Robert Smith, we'll just call him Shooter, I'm not going to give his name anymore. Robert Smith is going to shoot up the building. He goes around to the side, at least according to the report that I've read. He goes around to the side where the service department is for the boats, which it's strange to me if there's not some other piece of information we don't have yet, that maybe there was some reason for that. Don't start with your water pump jokes or something like that, or wrong prop or something. So he goes to that side of the building shooting up, not there at the front. Okay. At that point, he's shooting into the building, and yes, like somebody pointed out on Twitter, said something to the effect of, well, the bullets could go through and strike somebody. Absolutely, they could. But if you're looking at this as, in my take, and once again, this is just a citizen, this is just a guy that may own somewhere between 0 and 500 guns, a person who may or may not conceal carry. The way I look at it is, at that point, I don't see a specific innocent. My life is not threatened directly, or an innocent's life is not threatened directly, then I don't have, in my opinion, I don't have the legal backing of rendering that person room temperature. If that gun is turned and they're shooting at people, shooting me or coming towards us saying they're going to shoot us, different story in this. But the shooting at the building, I don't know that the reaction is going, but we'll talk to the sheriff about this, because when you take on the responsibility of carrying, you take on the responsibility of that firearm, it's important that you know the rules around it. I mean, I saw another story that popped up. We'll come back to the Bass Pro Shop. I don't want to hear from you on this, but I saw another story about it was over the weekend. Let's see. All right, here's the update from KRG. Girlfriend of alleged Irvington murderer says he shot a man because he was breaking into his car. So the girlfriend of alleged Irvington murderer told deputies her boyfriend shot a man on Saturday evening because he was breaking into his car. Okay. I just went through this, y'all. I just had my, about 3 weeks ago, walked out on Sunday morning to drive up here to the station. Dr. Bill was going to get on with me to record some, at that point, Hurricane Laura updates. And somebody had thrown a brick through my vehicle, locked up in my carport, thrown a brick through the vehicle, stole a bunch of stuff there. And I started thinking about the situation. If I would have, it was real cramped when you come out our back door into the carport. It would have been a real tough scenario. They'd had the drop on me because this time of year our door swells. Anybody have this problem with the humidity and you got to kind of really close it hard to close it and make some noise with a little glass pane rattle? They'd had the drop on me. If they'd produced a firearm in that situation, well, then it's obvious, the situation. That person has a firearm. They come towards you with the firearm. They swing towards you with the firearm. Different story. If that person was just robbing my vehicle and as PO'd as I was, and they just went running down my driveway, you don't shoot that person. You know, this story here says, you know, that somebody was breaking into the car and they shot him. I'm with you. As infuriating as it is, as much as it, I would want to put a telephone pole in a nether region of the person, you don't get to shoot them. So, circling back here on this Bass Pro Shop story, it's information I don't have at this point. But if you're shooting, and Travis saying it's an occupied building, there's a possibility of mass casualty with his actions. You have every right to shoot that shooter. Well, we'll find out from the sheriff. Once again, like I told you on the beginning, this is my interpretation of studying this over the years of when I feel that I have a green light, which I hope I never, never see in my life. But saying the person is shooting at the building, do you get to then get legal protection for shooting them? Well, that's why we have the sheriff coming on. And several of y'all are saying the same thing. People in the building, I get it. I do hear y'all with that. I just got to see what the actual interpretation is on that from law enforcement, because I haven't been in that scenario in the past. All right, so we'll grab a couple more calls on this, plus the sheriff's coming up in the next hour, so you can ask him, and I will as well, about this and a whole lot more. Also, in just a bit, my buddy from St. Jude's, Webb Jackson, is going to join us, because you're going to see some lighting on the RSA tower that's different from normal, and he's going to explain what's going on, what you can do on Facebook as well, when we come back right here on the Day Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And talk to my buddy Webb Jackson here from St. Jude's in just a second. A question here, I can get this answered for one individual, but maybe for lots of folks. Joshua says, when are we supposed to submit fishing pictures? He's talking about the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest, where you could win that fishing team shirt that's brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. Joshua, you do that on the Facebook page. If you go to the top post, you'll see there that says Fishing Photo Contest, and you'll see the collage of all the previous winners and their pictures there. You can post your picture up there, and it's Thursday to Thursday, because I'll be frank with y'all, we started this contest because it was National Fishing Day, and I said, hey, why don't we do this? We started that on a Thursday, so our week is Thursday to Thursday. We award a winner each Thursday. We shake the Etch-A-Sketch new week to work with, and you post your pictures up, and you get the most number of likes, and you win the shirt. So your deal is to get your family and friends on Facebook to go and click like on your photo, and the one with the most likes, when we wrap up the voting on Thursday, they'll win a shirt. We shake the Etch-A-Sketch again and start all over. So good luck, Joshua and others. It's too much fun. I love opening our Facebook page and seeing all y'all's pictures, and I love giving away these shirts. They're really cool shirts. We got a picture of one up there. You can see what you will win when your picture gets the most likes. All right, I want to mention this as we went into the break, that it's September. It's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And bring on a friend of mine, Webb Jackson, with St. Jude's, president of St. Jude's here in our area, to talk more about what's happening with the... Now, they're changing the lights on the RSA tower. What's going on, Webb?
Yeah, on September 9th, which is tomorrow, Wednesday, we're going to change the RSA tower gold for Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
So when we're riding down the road and we get, oh, look, RSA's got a different color, there's a reason for that and a
right.
reminder.
Correct. We're trying to bring a little more awareness to this month. It's amazing how many people do not realize that September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So we're trying to bring a little bit more recognition for that and awareness that, you know, this is a month that is, we'll put a little more focus on childhood cancer.
Now, I know with you and your staff and St. Jude's all over the country, you're thinking about this every month.
Correct. And it's not just a, you know, one day thing or a 1 month thing, but this is the one time of the year that we kind of put a little more focus on that, because there really is a great need to bring more awareness, more research for childhood cancer awareness. Some of the things that are kind of shocking is that in the last 2 years, there's only been one or two drugs that have been developed for childhood cancer. And but yet the number one rate for childhood death is cancer. So there is a big lack of research. There is a big lack of awareness for this. You know, one thing that a lot of parents have to deal with is that they, if their child does survive with cancer, the effects of the cancer treatment, 95% of them will develop chronic health issues, secondary cancers, or some kind of cognitive impairment. So this is something that they live with daily and could possibly live with the rest of their lives.
You know, it's that's important information because most of us will think about the success stories coming out,
right,
and that they beat this. And we've celebrated their stories. You and I have. We've celebrated at the Joy Life Ball. We've done these things, but the chronic part of this is something that's I think I'll put myself in the group that didn't think about that.
Right. And one of the most shocking things I didn't mention is that out of the billions of dollars that the federal government spends on research and development, only 4% goes to childhood cancer. 4%.
Wow.
That's it.
It's, you know, the stories are heartbreaking. I think people, you know, hear stories of local kids, whether they see a news story, the work y'all are doing, maybe even, you know, somebody's face on a jar there at the store where you can donate money to this. But these are affecting, obviously, the children, their extended family as well in this. But there's really been some great stories as well with kids from right here on the Gulf Coast that make that ride to St. Jude's or get that treatment paid for by St. Jude's here at home.
Right, and that's one thing a lot of people don't realize as well, that St. Jude's openly and freely shares their information, all their research, so sometimes if they can't make it to St. Jude, they can do right there from their hometown and hopefully do their protocol there.
Well,
so
of course,
it's a huge benefit.
It is, and if you keep those kids home too, I mean, that's extra special as well to have them here. Let's talk about how to help, and you're talking about the awareness, and I know you're doing something on your social media platforms as well.
We are. Tomorrow, September 9th, we're asking everyone to come to work, go to the gym, whatever they're doing, go in gold or go in yellow, any kind of color variation of gold or yellow, however you want, whatever you have. But we want to see everybody in gold. And once you dress up in your gold, dress up your coworkers and friends, family, pets, whatever it may be, take a picture of it and put it on our Facebook page. And our Facebook page is Joy of Life on the Gulf Coast. We'd love to see your pictures, and we want to see everyone go gold tomorrow.
Good deal. Now let's talk about quickly here that, you know, every story it seems like that we're talking about is the effect of coronavirus and its effect on the economy. What about the effect on fundraising for a charity like St. Jude's?
Well, unfortunately, we had to postpone our annual golf tournament. That was going to be the first weekend in November, the last weekend in October. So we have postponed that till the spring. But our other and our big major event is our charity Mardi Gras Ball. Right now, we're going to hold that date on January 23rd. It's the first Mardi Gras Ball of the season, a major Mardi Gras Ball of the season. So we're going to hold that right now, depending on what the mayor does with Mardi Gras as a whole. It's still up to speculation if they're going to let us have the parades or have the balls. So right now, we're going to hold and see what happens. But worst-case scenario, we'll have a virtual auction online available for everybody to bid on if we do not have the ball. But right now, we are going to try to keep the ball.
Right spirit, for sure. And we'll keep everybody in the loop here on our end. Webb, thank you for this. Thank you for bringing more attention to this. Thanks for the work that you and your crew are doing every day.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate you. Really do. Great folks. And obviously, the reputation of the charity precedes itself. So I don't need to sell you on the great work that St. Jude's does. But locally, you look at these issues here for fundraisers. I mean, we're talking about it for businesses out there trying to navigate this, people trying to navigate this economy, even though you saw the numbers at the end of last week, unemployment numbers down to 8%, which is a major improvement from where we were. And by the way, later on this week, Congressman Byrne's going to come in here and hang out with us for probably an hour or so. And one of the things I want to talk about is the numbers. If PPP wouldn't have been present, how many people would have ended up on the unemployment rolls and not come off at this point? So, but they're having a tough time navigating this for businesses as well as charities out there. So if there's a charity ball or an event you'd go to every year, you know, and you buy your ticket to get in there, the couple's ticket for the dinner and the donation, and then you bid in the auction and those things. Take an idea how much money you gave those charities in the past and try to make it happen again this year because they still need your help out there. All right, we'll be right back. It's your chance to ask the sheriff coming up next right here on Midday Mobile.